I do say we've been jumping back and forth. We have not. I, though, got to talk about Peter Capaldi today at book club. Oh. Yeah. In the book that we had read, I was asking who everybody mentally casted as, ironically enough, the doctor in the book, who is an alien with several limbs. And somebody said, Peter Capaldi, because he's pointy. And I went, oh, my God, yes. So...
I look forward to when we get to him. Anyway.
Yeah, pointy. I did say, well, what about Tom Baker? And they went, nah, too round. And I went, you know what? Too round.
too much teeth. Everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Who is my doctor?
Who is indeed?
I'm trying something out. Come on.
I am your host, Zach, and I know a lot about Doctor Who.
And I'm also your host, Cassie, and I don't know a lot about Doctor Who.
And today we're starting with series 3 of the new series.
Hooray!
Our first series without Rose Tyler.
Haboo!
Haboo?
Harumph!
Yes, today you're going to meet a new companion, and this episode is called Smith and Jones.
Okay.
So you can probably guess that she is either Smith or Jones.
Well, because Jones is... Wait, no, Smith. Smith is the name that that Sarah has.
Yeah, Sarah Jane Smith is her
Sarah
last
Jane
name.
Sarah Jane Smith is her last name.
It was also Mickey's last name.
So I can... But I thought you had also said at some point in one of these past episodes that Smith is the name that the doctor likes to give.
Yes, the doctor likes to go by John Smith. That is the name he goes by whenever he... Because he can't go by the doctor everywhere.
No.
So John Smith is the fake identity he gives people.
And so I can imagine that Jones is probably the companion.
Yes, you are correct. That is not the Cassie Perfassi today, though.
No, I just like being right sometimes.
Well, let's see if
occasionally.
Let's see if you're right today. So we've got two more questions for the Cassie Perfassi. Today you're going to meet the Jadoon, who are space cops.
Jadoon. That sounds like kicking a trash can down a very long tunnel.
Jadoon. Yeah, no, they're...
It sounds like the Netflix theme.
Jadoon.
Yeah.
Yes, so the Jadoon are an alien race that are also space cops.
It feels a little weird more. I have one more. It's falling down Niagara Falls in a barrel. Yeah.
Jadoon.
I'm going to be thinking about other comparisons to what the Jadoon sound like.
The Jadoon is their name.
Jadoon.
J-U-D-O-O-N.
Jadoon?
Yeah, Jadoon, exactly. So,
what time is it? It's Jadoon. Jadoon.
It's a bit of a stretch there, Cassie.
Hey, you know what? At least I'm trying.
So... The Jadoon are an alien race that you are meeting today. They are space cops, effectively. That is the only way they are ever portrayed. They are portrayed as a patrolling space force of cops. And
similar to like a stormtrooper? Or different?
You'll see. Okay. I don't want to spoil too much of them. I will say that their design is based on an animal. Specifically, they are an animal native to Africa and South Asia. And I will let you take a guess as to what that animal is.
I would like you to know, you the listener as well, that as soon as you started speaking, I said, armadillo. And then you said South America and Asia, and I went...
No, Africa and South Asia.
Africa and South Asia, and I went, not an armadillo. Okay, I know this.
Yeah, so African animals that are also in South Asia.
African animals that are also in South Asia. Now, when you say African animals, does that include Madagascar?
Yes, I would say it includes Madagascar.
Okay.
So just to give you a little bit of, I don't know if this helps or not, but just to at least put you in the mindset of what we're making here. They are, it is a practical effect. They are much like the cats from season two. They are human beings that are put into a very elaborate costume to make them look like this particular animal. So it is not CG. So you have to picture that you can do it practically in some way. It is a very impressive practical effect, I will say. But
the way that I want to ask, can I look at my phone to see if the animals I'm thinking of are from those areas?
And then you look up the just to be
no, punk. No, because I said Madagascar, but that really has confused me because there are a lot of species of animals that are native only to Madagascar. Mm-hmm.
So I'll make it easier for you.
Specifically,
I was including it when I said Africa, but they are not from Madagascar.
So it is not a lemur in any capacity. Okay. I was like, I know that eyes are very alien in nature and they're just kind of.
Yeah, I was including it when I said Africa, but just to make it easier on you, I felt like maybe me agreeing to that statement was sending you in the wrong direction.
Can I also ask some other animal questions for you?
Okay.
Region in Africa? Because Africa is a very large continent.
I believe they're predominantly in southern Africa. They're not in the Sahara.
Okay, so I can I can eliminate all like plains animals.
Let me double check.
Because also, if you're doing that crappy thing where it's oh, it's an elephant. No, yes, there are elephants both in Asia and in Africa. They are very similar, but they are fundamentally two very different animals.
So of the different subspecies, there is one subspecies in northwestern Africa, and one across eastern Africa, and then in terms of South Asia, they are mostly in the there is a subspecies in India, and then there is a subspecies in like the Vietnam Cambodia area.
Any in Siberia?
Not according to this image that I'm
seeing. Okay, so not tiger.
I think that's as much help as I could give you without just straight up telling you what the animal is, so.
Can I also ask,
is it bigger than a bread box? Is that what you're asking?
Basically, yes.
Yes, it is bigger than a bread box. Okay. It is not like a bug or something. It's
okay, because that was the other thing. Is I was like, this could be some kind of like dung beetle or something
like
that.
This is very specific. This is like something you would go like to see at the zoo.
Okay, so it is a more common animal then.
Or yeah, at least common enough that you would identify it. It's not. I'm not throwing you a trick question here.
Okay. Do you know that I've seen it before?
Yes.
Me going, what's the one with the hooves?
Giraffes?
No, not a giraffe. It's got the stripy legs. It's not
zebras?
No. I knew you were going to say that. They look like zebras.
I also am blanking on it.
Yeah, because we saw them in, they had some in Animal Kingdom.
Yeah.
I don't know, though, if those are in Asia is the issue. Because most of the animals that they have in Animal Kingdom are predominantly
me not remembering the name of it should tell you it is not the answer to the question.
Okay. Brilliant. Thank you. That's what I needed. Fuck. Is it a type of primate?
Yeah, I'm not gonna get I can't give you any more
this
guesses.
This is not fair because there's a lot of animals.
It is a mammal.
It is a mammal. Okay, that still doesn't help a whole lot. Because I'm really racking my capuchin?
You want to go with... we could open that up more even say monkey if you want to.
Well, because then if we go monkey, that's extraordinarily broad.
I would think that, but I would say a cat... Because I mentioned there were subspecies. So I'm not going to make you pick a subspecies for anything. So if you... So in this case, you...
Do I get bonus points if I'm correct and I say capuchin?
Sure. I'll give you an extra point if you guys...
No, because... Okay, yes. Okay, I'm going to... Because I believe that those are, because I know that there are lots of monkeys in Asia.
Okay.
And several in Africa as well. So that feels like a broad enough answer that I'm bound to at least get the arrow in the target.
Okay. So you're going with monkey, but for an extra point, you're guessing capuchin monkey.
Yeah.
Okay. So Cassie believes the Jadoon are monkeys. the monkey space cops.
Well, because now is that, wait, hold on. Because now that you say it out loud like that, could that be racist?
I mean,
because
I think,
you don't see a lot of.
I mean,
like,
I think cops are more known as pigs.
Well, yeah, but what I mean specifically is like you see cat people and dog people.
You have the Planet of the Apes.
That's different though. Those are monkeys. Those are hyper intelligent monkeys. But
in that case,
apes.
I mean, this would still.
This is something where it's like putting an actor in monkey makeup could look. A little screechy, itchy.
I mean, that was what the original Planet of the Apes was. That was people in
monkey
makeup.
That's different, though. They were not monkey-human hybrids. They were simply humans.
Well, these aren't hybrids either. These are.
I'm also trying to think of what animals have been sent up into space, which then does circle back around to monkeys.
Just to clarify, in case you're thinking about it, they're not a hybrid. This is an alien that happens to look like an animal.
Okay, that does. I'll go with monkey.
Okay, so we're going with monkey.
I would also like to report, I don't know how to spell capuchin, so in my notes it's going to look like cappuccino. And I already know. I know I'm going to misremember that.
So this episode's major problem, I will say, is that the Jadoon take a hospital or out of the UK and move it somewhere
else. Do they leave the horses in the hospital or do they take those out before they move them?
No, the horses are in the TARDIS. We've established that.
Loose in the TARDIS.
So yes, there's a hospital in the UK that the Jadoon removed from the UK. And they put it somewhere else. Where do you think they might put it?
That one fucking satellite that they used so much in series one. And then we've never seen it again. What was it? Satellite 5?
Yeah, Satellite 5. And now I will say Satellite 5 does not exist for several thousand years in the show.
Okay, so it's happening presently, yeah, right now.
This takes place in what was present day, so this would have been 2007.
Okay, so it's not Satellite 5.
It's not Satellite 5, no.
Okay. So I was like, we haven't seen him yet.
You know, Satellite 5, I don't think ever comes back.
Man, they really put her through the ringer then. Jeez, this is a place we'll only go to once, so we need to put every other episode on and around Satellite 5.
It was really just the two stories.
It felt like
more because there were other episodes like that more. Took place on satellites.
It might as well have been the same one, dude. Yeah. I'm sorry. Could you repeat the question?
Sure.
I'm sorry. Could you repeat the question?
Sure. The main.
So they pick up the hospital.
Yeah, there's
and
a hospital
over there.
Yeah. The Jadoon. The main conflict of the show is that the Jadoon have taken a hospital from the UK and moved it somewhere else. I will let you decide where they have moved it.
The moon?
You're going with the moon?
I think I'm going to go with the moon because somewhere else is incredibly vague.
Okay.
Because somewhere else could be a continent over. Somewhere else could be the middle of the ocean. I believe that you're being vague just to not spoon feed me answers. But also your unclarity is not helpful.
All right. So. The answers today are Moonkey. It's the hospital's on the moon, and it's full of monkey cops.
On the moon!
Who put all the monkeys on the moon?
They just start throwing bananas down.
Throwing them from the moon to Earth.
Yeah, it takes them a while.
But when they get there, it's like a meteorite, a very wet meteorite.
Oh my God, the slipperiest... That's what killed that's what's going to kill the Pope is banana meteor from the moon.
What killed the dinosaurs? The banana rain.
Killed the dinosaurs, but those little parasites and bugs afterwards, they were having a field day, my friend. It was the age of the bugs after the banana meteor.
All right, well, let's find out if the Jadoon are monkeys And if they moved the, and if they moved a hospital to the moon in Smith and Jones.
Hey, this episode of Who Is My Doctor is brought to you by Crooklinen. Hey, tough guy, you talking to me? Well, I don't see anybody else here, so you must be talking to me. And if we're talking, I'm going to say that you deserve a better night's sleep. Crooklinen sheets are the only sheets on the market designed with the high-class criminal in mind. High thread count, breathable fabric, and they're specially designed to be stain-free no matter how many horseheads you wake up next to. Crooklinen. Because even sleeping with the fishes ought to be comfortable.
In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups. The rhinos who investigate crime, and the doctors who actually solve it. These are their stories. So yes, this was Smith and Jones, where we just watched the Rhino Police.
Not Capuchin Monkeys.
Not Capuchin Monkeys.
Which, in my defense, if you had shown me what they look like with the masks on, I would have gotten it very fast.
Yeah, that was also why I didn't want to show it to you, because that would have given it away really quickly.
Yeah, but that would have been really fucking helpful.
Why would I ever help with the Cassiever Fest?
I don't know, because you love me or something.
What I love is quality entertainment.
What you love is making me look like an idiot in front of all my friends.
Stop it! You're embarrassing me on my podcast!
These are all my friends, Zach! I know maybe three of them!
Everybody knows that you look cool on podcasts! That's the rule!
So you better watch out, or else I'm going to turn this into a podcast, ladies and gentlemen. Just a show for me, no one else.
So yes, this was Smith and Jones, your introduction to one Martha Jones, a medical student who is learning to become a doctor.
The doctor seems to like finding doctors, ironically enough.
Since
we just watched the Tom Baker, and one of his little friends is a doctor.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of scientists. I mean, there's definitely a lot of scientists that partner up with the doctor, but
which
not-
makes sense. I do like that she threw it at him of, that's a title I feel like you have to earn.
That feels very like authentic.
Oh yes.
Like there's a few people that I could absolutely imagine saying that. And maybe in a more blunt way than Martha would have put it too. In the future, one of his future companions is a nurse, which is also quite fun. But for now, at least, it's Martha, the doctor in training, alongside the doctor. So, what did you think of
Martha in training?
What did you think of your introduction to Martha?
So I do like that the intro to this episode was very that of series one. It sets it just sets you up with the, like, we're not jumping directly into space time travel. We are establishing that this is normal. Everything is normal.
Yes,
this is a dysfunctional family calling each other up, trying to figure out plans for the party that they're throwing this evening, and mom not wanting to talk to dad, using the daughters as the in-betweens. Hold on, I'm getting a call from mom. Hang up. What's going on? Hold on, getting a call from dad. Very familiar stuff.
Yeah.
Both to me and just in general, very familiar.
Well, it's also a very different dynamic from Rose, who only had her mom. Like, we meet her dad over the course, but that's not the life that she has. Martha, meanwhile, seems to have a family that's a little too big.
Well, because it's mom, dad, dad's girlfriend, and then
older, younger brother, and maybe older sister. I didn't catch if she was older or younger.
Even still, two siblings.
Yeah, two siblings.
I mean, that's pretty standard.
Yeah, but compared to Rose, who only had a mom.
Fair.
And also, her family all seems to have very big personalities that are like, will call you and make demands of you that are totally unrelated to you.
Yeah, don't know what that's like.
Yeah,
unusual.
So it's not like too big in the sense that it's like an overwhelming amount for a television show, but it's a lot. It's definitely a lot compared to Rose, and it just feels like her family is sort of overbearing in a way that you sort of understand why she leaves.
Oh, yeah.
One thing similar to Rose, though, this companion is also motivated to come along when the doctor tells them it also travels in time. Although for Rose, it was, I want to go see my dad. For Martha, it was, look at this neat trick I just did.
Yeah, it was. Well, because I caught that at the very beginning of the episode when you first see Martha, mm-hmm. and it. In script and dialogue, just from her talking to her family, establishes that she is Martha Jones. Once you hear her name said, you get an awkward, like, cameo almost of the doctor just kind of passing through, mm-hmm. and interacting with her and giving her his tie.
Mm-hmm. No, he doesn't give it to her. He just takes it off and walks away.
Yeah. As soon as that happened, I went, okay, he's back. We're not going to dance around any part of the doctor. He's just going to be as wily as ever.
Imagine if this was your first, this is where you came into Doctor Who. Because this mostly feels like a place where you can come into the show.
It's really solid.
Yeah, it's a really solid episode, but also it doesn't require a lot of like prior knowledge. Like the only thing that comes up at all is Rose at the end. And, you know, if you just accept as much knowledge of it as Martha has, okay.
There were even episodes with Rose where you kind of have to accept that the Doctor has had a rich past before this moment, i.e. Sarah Jane Smith.
Yeah.
That whole episode is about the past, mm-hmm. effectively. And so if you were jumping in, this is the first episode you're watching. You are basically being put in that position now of, okay, cool. Yeah, Rose is somebody from the past. If you understand the mechanics of the show and you hear Rose, friend, you can put the pieces together. It's not hard.
Yeah.
It's not rocket science. It's not TARDIS science.
Martha is, I think it would be agreed upon that she's probably the least favorite of the three companions.
Which is astonishing. I really like her.
That's the thing. It's not that people don't like her. It is just by nature, she ends up being everybody's second favorite. If Rose is your favorite, Martha's your second favorite. If you like Donna, who you've already met the most, then Martha usually comes in second. It's not that she's bad. It's just that the dynamic that she has, it's just that all three companions are so good. That this one comes up in second a lot. Some people love her.
I was gonna say, I don't. Is it a race thing?
I don't think it is.
Because it kind of feels like a race thing.
I don't think it is. I mean, I'm sure there's a handful where that is the case. There are aspects to it that we'll talk on as we get through the series that I think it is never Freema Agyeman's fault. That the character ever has shortcomings. There are sometimes she is not written as well as she has the potential for, which I think was also true of Rose.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike Rose, who got two seasons to really like spin through her character, Martha only gets one. So okay. I guess it's sort of a spoiler. This is her season, and then Donna is next season.
But she's already starting off on a very strong foot of
yes.
being smart. Nothing against Rose.
Well, Rose was. You know, one of the things she says in her very first episode is that she dropped out of high school.
Yeah. And so Martha has the advantage of she's already wired for critical thinking.
Yeah. And it's a very smart dynamic to find someone that doesn't know as much as the doctor, but is intellectually open in the same way the doctor is.
Yes.
And so has a whole different dynamic. And is meeting him on a different level than
Rose
was.
She's not having to learn inductive reasoning.
Yeah. It is funny. I do think that because as we have sort of established in this episode that when the doctor kisses Martha, that Martha's into it.
Yeah, but she only dates humans.
Yeah. Right. Right, honey.
She only dates humans. She said that, Zach. What, you're not going to believe her? You're not going to believe the words that she says out of her mouth?
There is a part of me that was like, if we're talking specifically as romantic angles, I do think Martha is a much stronger romantic angle than Rose was, because Rose is a child. I mean, one, she is legitimately 19, so that's part of it. But there's also a Martha is like an adult who's going into a career and is like emotionally mature enough to like handle a tense situation. Meanwhile, Rose gets on a spaceship and has a panic attack immediately.
Then it's also based off of what we see of Martha's family. She's been grown up for a very long time.
Yeah, it really seems like her family leans on her a lot. So and that really, you know, informs the character and why she can handle these high stress situations. Like, she gets put on the moon and she's like, okay, how is this any different than the phone call, than the chain of phone calls I had this morning?
Yeah, it's because I think it. She specifically says a little brother, 21 years old.
Yeah, I mean,
so she is well past 21.
Yeah, she seems to. I mean, now that we're saying this, she probably is the oldest of the three siblings, because her sister seems like maybe even younger than the brother.
Yeah.
So that would mean that she is the person everyone leans on.
Yeah.
As the firstborn of her parents, and as the older sibling to her two siblings, It is just where she falls.
Something else. And I don't know if it's because this is the first episode of series three, so It does feel very, there is a certain muchness, particularly when it comes to the doctor. I wrote particularly impish.
Yeah,
which I stand by, because it happened. I had the thought at first when, after the interaction with Mrs. Finnegan, I think it was her name.
Yeah, Miss Finnegan.
Very
Miss Finnegan and the Bendy Straw.
Yeah, Miss Finnegan, very British name. And the medical students are doing their, you know, oh, what are the symptoms? What would you do? You go over to the doctor who is having, quote, severe abdominal cramps. And Martha checks his heart.
Yeah.
And as she's looking up, he gives her a little wink and then is talking about electricity and Benjamin Franklin and how.
And how he got electrocuted by Benjamin Franklin
that
day.
And it's just like, you cheeky fuck. What game are you playing right now?
There's a part of it where he's getting like really brazen in his.
He's extraordinarily so. Because I. It was at that moment I went, has he been, like, hunting Martha?
You know,
and not hunting, but it's just, like, he's being extra cavalier with all of his timey-wimey bullshit.
You know what he's doing right now?
What?
Have you ever seen someone that's, like, not just gotten out of a breakup, but has had enough time that they're, like, going out, and they're, like, way too confident about it?
No!
That's what he's doing right now, is he's doing the, like, I'm laid back. I'm chill. I don't have a woman tying me down. I could be whatever I want to be. Time to go out and blaze my own trail. And then like walks into the bar and hits on every woman there and gets turned down by all of them because he's being a douchebag. And that's what the doctor is doing right now.
See that? I don't know that from relationship experience. I know that through being upset at. You can choose to keep this in or not keep this in. I am not quiet when it comes to this topic. When it comes to my fucking job, anytime I'm like, that's it. That's it. I'm quitting. I'm going to find a different job. I'm going to interview. I'm going to put out a bunch of applications. I'm likable. I'm a good person to be around. I'm a hard worker. Applies to 50 jobs and hears back from none of them. Do you know how much that hurts? Do you know how shaky my confidence is, Zachary?
Yeah, that's where he's dealing right now. Is he's like he's not with Rose anymore. Apparently decided he's not having any companions now.
He does say he prefers to work alone.
Yeah,
yeah, whatever, dude. You're lonely. Just you kissed her. You love her. It was during that time though where he. Says Rose and he says we were together anyways and he just kind of bulldozes through it. I could hear every 2007 Tumblr girl just going
you simultaneously just like saw a million AMVs scroll past your face.
Oh my god, the way that I'm like, I'm gonna look this up on AO3 fanfic.
Some people are on Tumblr losing their goddamn minds.
Oh my god, I could hear just decades of screaming girls.
Immediately trying to establish a whole other camp of AO3 writers to talk about how they like Martha better than Rose.
Oh my god. I mean, I don't want to feel like it's a race thing, but I do feel like.
Yeah, I mean, that's a nice addition that Martha is not white, because most of his companions have been.
Mm-hmm.
Even now, I think most of the New Who companions have been white.
I mean, just based off of the thumbnails from the most recent series.
So the 13th Doctor is sort of an exception to the rule.
Because she's a woman.
Well, it was also, I don't know if that was a directive that from the, it was something that Chris Chibnall really wanted to instill, was that the show should be more multicultural. His stories don't just have like two companions of a different race, where one is, one was Pakistani and the other is,
you know. I was going to say, there hasn't been a single Asian person.
I don't think there's been any Asian companions. I mean, not East Asian, There's been a Pakistani who's South Asian, but
well, yes, but I'm talking Chinese, yeah. Japanese. Yeah.
In fact, the history of Doctor Who with Asian characters, not great.
Yeah, I can fucking see that.
I'm saying it took place in the 70s, so you can imagine there's been at least one yellow face character.
Ooh,
yeah. We're not going to watch
Yikes.
There's a reason why we're not going to watch The Talons of Wang Chiang.
Yikeroonies! They don't even try to hide it.
Well, to be fair, that story is set in China. So there's a part of it where it's not explicitly written racist. Well, I take that back. Well, no, it's not explicitly written racist, but they do have a man in yellow face. So one of those whoopsies. History has not forgiven that.
No.
History's not been kind to that.
No. We can watch that off podcast.
Yeah. The sad thing is, it's actually a really well written story. It's one of the Fourth Doctor's better stories, but you have to really get over the yellow face thing, because it's a Sherlock. It's basically the Doctor is Sherlock Holmes.
Fun.
Anyway, sorry, I'm getting off on a tangent. So yes, however, so this story features
it features them going to the
Yes, you are correct. The hospital is abducted to the moon.
I mean, there are only so many places that the hospital could go.
Yeah, I was curious where you would go if I just left it open-ended like that.
I
was so happy you hit the nail on the head.
Yeah.
Because it was just like, I mean, the moon, I feel like, is a really, just a good, fun choice.
It's a very, dare I say, basic, but... why wouldn't you pick the moon? It's Earth's closest satellite.
Yeah, and
that
it's
isn't a satellite. A satellite. Yeah. Yes,
and it's really fun because they can all see the Earth from a distance. You really get that
proof that the Earth is not flat.
Well, moreover, what I mean is that you get the that sign that, you know, because they say that when astronauts go to space, you can never see the Earth in the same way again because you've seen the Earth at a distance like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not getting it as two dimensions anymore. You're getting that third dimension that you can't wrap your head around until you see it. And this is 1,000 people in a hospital all simultaneously getting that feeling unexpectedly. And so they're all screaming and crying.
Except for the two female nurses.
I mean,
the man's also pretty chill and relaxed and calm. And they're not nurses, they're med students. They're medical students.
Yeah, I mean, they also knew you panicking in some different ways. The director of medicine, he seems to have just been quietly been like, I'm going to die here. I was hoping to retire in Florida, but now I'm going to die here on the moon. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to be drunk. You're going to have a drink? No, this old woman is going to drink me. I'm going to be drunk.
I mean, he doesn't do that willingly.
Yeah, no. So I imagine that was probably what the other doctor was doing too. Was he was like, his panic mode is to go into traffic conductor mode.
It's a very common occurrence, particularly for people that work in any sort of mm-hmm. high stress situation. Just thinking about my mom, since she's an ER nurse, mm-hmm. my mom is 100% the person you need to be around in a high stress, scary situation. She is as cool as a cucumber. It's frightening. There have been times where I'm panicking real hard. I'm stressed. I'm running around in circles. I'm chasing my own tail. You look over at her, stoic.
Not a care in the world.
Oh my God, stone-faced, statuesque woman. And it's that thing of, granted, she also has 30 years in the ER, so, you know, that changes a person over time. But especially if you are learning to be in literal life or death situations, medical student or like people that are involved in medicine, and, you know, this branches out not just doctors and ER nurses, but firefighters, mm-hmm. EMTs, paramedics. They are exactly the people you need to be around because they do not waver under stress. They receive specific training to not freak out. And I really appreciated that in this particular episode. The people that were freaking out mostly were patients, which, yes.
Yes.
Absolutely, they would be the ones freaking out. They're already having a bad day as it is. They're sick in the hospital, and now they're on the fucking moon.
Yeah, or the other medical students. Like, that was, I think you called her a nurse, but the person that was with Martha was another medical student, and she was, like, borderline passing out from...
Yeah, she was running out of oxygen.
She was like, the rain's going up. It's nighttime now. We're looking at the Earth. Ah!
Well, yeah, but you...
Yeah.
You try seeing the rain go upwards and not freak out a little bit.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. It's understandable. This is not me judging her, but this is me putting her in contrast to Martha, where Martha, like, we got to the moon. That means there's a way to get back from the moon.
I do really like her and the doctor finally interacting and them both having the thought of, how are we breathing? Let's find out. Is there a way to get outside? Yes, we could die, but we could also live.
We might die.
We might not.
Good. Come on.
Yeah, I really liked that, and I went, aha.
Because that's really where you get the, like, what does the doctor want in a companion? And it really is that, because I think that's what he wants, not necessarily what he needs, but what he wants is that person that will stare into a fire and jump into it.
Mm-hmm. And say, what's the worst thing that could happen?
Yeah, exactly.
We're already on the moon. We are going to die here, probably, so let's see if we can find a way to live. Let's see what we can do about this Jadoon platoon on the moon.
Yes, the Jadoon platoon on the moon.
Jadoon platoon upon the moon.
So that line was written specifically to fuck with David Tennant.
Why?
Because David Tennant is Scottish.
I didn't know that Scottish people had an issue with ooh sounds.
They have an issue with oon. Their the, I don't know if it's, is it Gaelic?
I mean, Gaelic is more Irish, like the
Scottish language doesn't have that sound in it. And so it's very, one of those,
it is, okay, I understand.
It's just a mouth sound. And that's also why.
Ooh is very, Eurocentric then.
Yes. And it's also why when he says it, he has to go, Jadoon, a platoon on the moon. Like, he really sounds like he's chewing. It's where his accent breaks the most because he is having to filter his natural Scottish brogue.
Scottish.
Scottish
core.
He's having to filter his natural Scottish brogue into this other dialect, and it's not natural to his language. It's very funny.
I also did appreciate being barefoot on the moon.
Yo, right. There's a great moment where he shakes some radiation into his shoe and so throws one away.
You're completely mad.
You're right. I looked after one shoe.
So he throws his other shoe away. And then while standing in bare feet in this hospital, looks at this, they call it a slab, and he's made out of leather. He's like, he's fully leather from the outside in. Someone has a real fetish. And I'm like, dude, you're standing here in bare feet.
Faux-fui?
Faux-fui?
Faux-fui? There was a part of me that was like, ugh, somebody out there really likes this episode for that reason alone.
Especially later on when he's like talking to Finnegan again and he's like waving his feet around, like really like getting his hands in there.
I mean, you know, everybody has their thing. No judgment. If that is your thing, I just...
Some people like a Scottish accent. Some people like a Scottish foot.
Fourfwee? But he's barefoot on the moon.
Yeah, so they do go to the moon. And on the moon, there are the Jadoon, a platoon of Jadoon on the moon.
Rhinoon.
And they are Rhino police for hire, they're called. So they're... like mercenaries that work for the cops.
I really do like that they're that the makeup is practical.
Yeah.
Only one though. Everybody else is just a uniform. Fucking fair. You don't need everybody's mask off. That is a great way to make one person look fantastic. But because of the way that the puppet works, doesn't actually ever move its mouth in coordinates with what words are being said.
Well, that's the question, is he saying that, or is it just whatever he's saying is being translated into English?
Oh,
via
yeah, because
his suit?
Of all of his language is just O E do so so
blow so fo do no crow blow so ro ro.
Oh no. Ruh ro.
Fee fi fo fum.
Fum.
Weirdly, the Jadoon language cannot say Jadoon because they also only end words in O. What did you think of the Jadoon? Because I really hoped you would like them because I know that they're very silly, but they're taken very seriously by the people making them.
In world, in context, or just in our world in execution?
Whichever way you want to take it.
I appreciate any time a show goes completely practical. And I've just said that because they only have one person with their helmet off, that's all the impact you need. That's all you need because you understand that under every single helmet, that's what they look like. There might be slight variations just because of the species, but that's not important to the story. So don't need to fixate on it. Don't need to think about that. I like that a lot. I also really like the fact that they are looking for one person and one person only. And after they have done their job, there they fuck right off. They do not care. They're not empathetic beings.
Yeah, no. Doctor Who said all cops are rhinos and all rhinos are bastards.
Yeah, and there is a part of me that does appreciate when you have entities like that because you don't need to try to reason them into feeling. That's not their job. They have one fucking job and they let you know what that job is.
Well, also, you know, they're not portrayed as heroes, really. They are
honestly, I think they would be true neutral.
Yeah, they're called thugs. I mean, they're probably lawful.
Lawful neutral.
Maybe
then.
Even lawful evil. Because they straight up abduct a hospital.
They abduct
and starve it for oxygen to hunt for one person.
Well, yeah, but they put it back.
Yeah, but they didn't know how long that was going to take. Everyone else there could have died.
Yeah, but they also don't need to be concerned about oxygen. They're fine.
Yeah.
Well, selfish, also, perhaps, but I feel like they still are neutral.
I mean, they also left a bomb behind that would have destroyed because the MRI machine is set to blow up, basically.
Oh, but they didn't make that.
Yeah, they didn't make it.
They don't care about that.
Yeah, they didn't do anything with it. They're like, that's your problem, bye.
I do like that the solution of getting rid of that was just to unplug the machine. That's so stupid.
You just got another right plug. And that's how he earns the title of doctor.
Yeah, by knowing to unplug
by
the machine.
By knowing to fix any machine, you turn it off and back on again.
He didn't turn it on, though. That'd be bad.
Didn't he? His bare feet were out.
To your corner. I do like that after Martha gets mistaken for being a non-human entity.
No, because she was non-human, but she was human but had non-human contact.
They gave her compensation. Yeah. I have a question for you. What is Jadoon compensation?
I mean, it was huge, whatever it was. It was like a
whole, it was laminated.
It was a laminated piece of paper. So I have to assume it's like, here's $5 for the space bus.
Sorry for the inconvenience, ma'am. Here's $5. Get yourself a candy bar.
We have detained you for too long. Go see a saucy puppet show.
Here is a free pint of ice cream from the 31 flavors.
Well, if we're going to talk about the Jadoon, we should probably also talk about Miss Finnegan, who is there.
Miss Finnegan?
who they're trying to...
The not vampire, yeah, with a bendy straw and slabs?
Yeah, her slabs of leather men who just show up to the hospital.
Slabs is such a good name, though. Yeah. Like, that's so... You get it. You get it right off the bat. That's slabs.
I enjoy that they show up in full motorcycle gear and never take their helmet off and no one stops them.
They're slabs, Zach. They're no face.
You know those super lax security hospitals that let you walk around in a full motorcycle helmet?
I mean, I've gone into hospitals and worse, so... my mom worked there, but still.
I mean, it's different, though. They know who you are.
Sometimes. Other times they just go,
Yeah, Miss
Finnegan. Walked on
Miss
by.
Finnegan. A plasmavore is what they called her. One who consumes plasma, I guess. That's a really...
One who bit Princess Leia and killed her?
Well, presumably didn't bite. She just got her little bendy straw. She just pokes that right in your neck. Which I actually wonder, like, how do they eat it? How do they get to blood normally? Because as far as I could tell... They don't, like, she was just an old woman. She didn't have, like, vampire teeth.
No.
Are they born with a straw in their hands?
Well, I mean, I'm sure that it, if you wanted to go really disgusting and horrible, they could just drain the blood like hunters do, like rabbits and stuff, where you just chop off the head and make them hang upside down.
Yeah, that could be one. I mean, that's actually kind of funny. Do you think she got the bendy straw on Earth?
Absolutely.
Like, she had, like, a big alien sword, but she's like, you know, I could, but this is just so... Miss Finnegan and the Bendy Straw is a great band name, by the way.
Yes, it is.
I just realized that. So we're going to sit there. But Miss Finnegan, just like with a Bendy Straw, just pokes it right in your neck, which I don't understand how a Bendy Straw does that, but maybe it's not from Earth then.
Like a sharp Bendy Straw, unless she's freakishly strong.
Yeah.
Because you can do anything if you're very strong.
Yeah, I liked that she drank his blood to, like, cloak herself. And that ended up also being her undoing, is that the doctor gets to play an idiot for a little bit.
Again, very cheeky.
Yeah.
But
he's like, oh, that's like some of his moments where he's just like, that sounds like a lot of electricity. Is that dangerous?
Yeah, him being like, did I mention the rhinos outside with guns? We're on the moon in a hospital on the moon, and there's rhinos outside with guns.
And we're on the moon and in a hospital with guns. Rhinos, they have guns on the moon.
And we're in a hospital.
And they're saying things? And then he goes,
we can keep this bit going for a while, but I hit it. I hit the nail on the head, so we should just keep going.
And the doctor... outplays her by having her drink his blood.
What was his ultimate plan, though, after that?
I mean, it really seems like his plan was what happened, which was
Martha's got this. She's a smart girl.
Yeah, Martha's a...
She learned I have two hearts, so she'll know how to do proper two-heart CPR.
Yeah, Martha's a doctor in training, so she knows how to do CPR. She specifically heard that I have two hearts.
And I know she heard it because I gave her a saucy little wink afterwards, indicating that I know what she knows.
Oh, one thing we didn't talk about. The doctor has a new suit.
I didn't even notice.
Yeah, he's wearing a blue suit instead of his usual brown one.
And red shoes,
blue pinstripe suit with little red stripes instead of his brown one with blue stripes.
Yeah, I did not notice.
That's surprising for me because you're a costumes girl.
Yeah, but we've been jumping back and forth between different doctors.
That's fair. We have had a few silly adventures in the middle here, haven't we? So, and, you know, Martha knew that she had two hearts, and then he seemed like, the thing he really seemed to count on, more than anything, was that the Jadoon would just put the hospital back,
Like, he had no plan for that.
He also somehow managed to carry the passed out Martha from the MRI room up to, like, the second, like, a floor above.
Yeah, them. Or presumably, like, he had to carry her a long distance shortly when he was declared deceased less than an hour, like, a few minutes ago.
And after she is passed out, not because she fainted out of wanting to faint, but because there's no oxygen left in the building.
Yeah, which like, I feel like that would hurt the doctor first more than Martha, because the doctor was just declared deceased.
Yeah, but can't the doctor breathe without oxygen?
He's not
human, so...
I actually
presumably his alien anatomy allows him to do weird, wacky, wild things like that.
I don't believe he can survive in the void of space, though. I believe that is established that he does still breathe.
Huh. Well, then, somehow.
Oh, because there are a few interesting ways to kill a Time Lord. You can't. They can't take aspirin. Aspirin kills them. the third Doctor his introduction is him passing out, and then when he wakes up in a hospital, and I don't think it was a hospital bed exactly, but he wakes up with someone treating him, and they've brought him aspirin, and he's like, are you trying to kill me? So that's a little bit fun bit of Time Lord physiology.
I did spend a lot of this episode, and I'm still spending a lot of our conversation thinking about, how did the Doctor know to pick out Martha?
Was
it random chance, or is it something where he... like, happened upon the hospital? Because they had a very perfectly reasonable explanation for why he was in the hospital. Is mm-hmm. He was detecting weird electromagnetic whatever because of the Jejunes.
Yeah, I don't think he was looking for Martha. I think he was investigating the hospital.
Yes.
And in pretending to be a patient, gravitated towards Martha because Martha is Martha.
I mean, that's the only thing that I was like... I don't know. But I also don't really know any other way that he could go about it that isn't creepy.
Yeah, he was, I don't think he was even, like I said, he wasn't looking for a companion. So I think he was just being a cheeky.
He's happy being alone. He likes working alone.
Yeah, I think he was just being kind of a cheeky little fuck, but sees something in Martha that he likes in his companions. And so because of that, latched onto her in a way that I don't think even he caught on to right away. I also want to talk about, since we were talking about Miss Finnegan, her actress is so good.
She does a kind of a weird thing with her lip.
Yeah. Where, like, one of her lips gets, like, weirdly smaller than the other, but it's not the way it
and
seems
it, like, not, I don't want to say flips out. It's cartoonish in a way, but it doesn't...
Like, it almost seems like the actress is trying to make vampire fangs come out, and she can't. Because she either thinks they're going to happen in post, or she's just trying to get into this Plasmavore kind of character, and so she leans into vampire.
Maybe.
But she's so... She plays it.
Oh, I get it. Plasmavore. Like blood plasma, and she's gobbling it up.
Yeah, like herbivore, carnivore, plasmavore. Exactly.
That makes way more sense. So sorry for interrupting your thought with my ADHD. Continue.
Yeah, she plays it in this way where there's something inhuman about her. In a way that's really hard to describe, and I think it's mainly just that her face doesn't move a whole lot, but she still gets a lot of expression across.
My favorite trope is alien pretending to be human via old lady. I fucking love it! It's so good, because, like, if you're an alien you don't know and you want to be unassuming, of course you would go old lady. Why not? Nobody ever assumes the old lady. We should really start assuming the old ladies now.
You heard it here first, folks. Who Is My Doctor says investigate old ladies.
My God, yes. Trust none of them. They want your blood.
Yeah, so how are you looking forward to this series 3?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm really excited too. The last...
Because I feel like with Rose, there was a lot of growth. Mm-hmm. Martha, we're jumping right in.
Yeah. Martha, I think, is a really interesting companion. She adds a very different dynamic, especially during a particular two-part we'll get to later. And I will say that the last three stories of this season are, I think, three of the best stories in Doctor Who.
Okay.
That's not to say the rest.
Which is astonishing, since literally every episode before this is, this could have been better. This is the worst episode. Oh, this one's the worst episode. I'll have you know, Mr. Blue Sky came on the other day while I was driving, and my sister was like, oh my God, this makes you want to watch the second Guardians movie. And I went, yeah, second Guardians movie. Not the Doctor Who episode where the man fucks a brick.
Yeah, I will say, I really believe that is still, to me, that is still the worst Doctor Who episode.
I loved it, though.
So you're not going to hear that from me ever again. In fact, I think seasons 3, 4, and 5 are the three strongest seasons of the entire show.
Mark Zach's words. He doesn't think that any episode from this point forward is the worst episode.
Yeah, so I'm really excited about the rest of this podcast now, because this is where I really glommed onto the show.
I will say, I don't know if maybe it was just the break in between seasons, or maybe we'll see. Just it's difficult to say because this is the first episode. Mm-hmm. I really feel like Doctor Who Davey Tenney is really is doing something different with him, and I don't know if it's because now he's lost Rose, so there is a familiar sadness.
Yeah.
Like what we saw with Eccleston, where his doctor was just upset.
Yeah.
Well, the whole time. So now Davey Tenney has not a reason to be sad, but a fresher reason.
And he's handling it in a very different way than Eccleston did.
Yeah.
Eccleston was like, just like that very like sad, angry, like self-pity way. David Tennant is portraying it more in like an overconfident denial way.
Yeah, where it's the, yeah, we were together. I can't talk to her anymore. She doesn't exist. Anyways.
Yeah. But also like he's treating everything he's doing with like this painted on smirk. Like, aren't I the cleverest one in the room? I'm the smartest person here. Everyone will love me for it.
Oh, I'm so cleverness. Oh, the cleverness of me.
And we will see if the Doctor maintains that cleverness on the next episode of Who Is My Doctor?
Hey, Zach, who is my doctor?
Who is indeed?
Jeez, it's wilding out.
Hey, we got to the start of Series 3. I'm so incredibly excited for this season. This is where I think a lot of people really fell in love with the show, and I'm hoping that will be true of Cassie, too. We've got Shakespeare and Daleks and the introduction of the Weeping Angels to come. So if you're looking forward to that, be sure to subscribe to this podcast. And to help us with the gods of the algorithm, please leave us a like or 5 stars or share us with your fellow Whovians. We're still trying to grow this podcast, and it means the world to us when we see that you guys are excited to talk about it. You can find us on Twitter, Blue Sky Threads, and Instagram at WIMDPOD. That's WIMDPOD. I'm going to run another poll on Twitter after this podcast drops to decide a certain question I have for the middle of this season. So be sure to come follow and cast your vote. We will see you next Tuesday, because your Tuesdays are now Whose Days.